Our series on cultivating awe is nearly over. Next week will be our last Sunday in this series. And so I'm going to be reminding you today and finally next week about what we've been learning, what we've been reflecting on. Around the world, we have learned that researchers have found that we are most likely to feel awe when moved by moral beauty. It is the single most common form of awe that we experience. And they found this in the study that they, where they surveyed people from more than 20 countries in many different languages and asked people to share what made them, what stirred them to feel awe. And over 90% of the moral beauty that stirred awe across different cultures was in actions that people took on behalf of others. Acts of courage are one kind of moral beauty with sublime potential. People using CPR, for example, to revive victims of heart attacks. Some of you have intimate experience of that. We have a number of retired nurses and other health professionals here. Parents raising children with various struggles, health conditions, challenges. Bystanders interrupting crimes or diffusing conflict. Organizations like Doctors Without Borders or the Canadian Food Grains Bank, or so many others, all inspire awe. Here's one story of life-saving, courageous awe from the country of Chile that was shared. It was about when a 17-year-old went fishing with his brother and a friend. So these three young people are fishing. And apparently their fishing line got stuck deep into the lagoon. And the friend jumped into the water to free the nylon line, but started to sink and started yelling for help. And the narrator says, "My brother, despite not being a very good swimmer, jumped in to help. And the moment my friend felt my brother's body, he clung to him, and they both started to go down. Out of nowhere, a man in a bathing suit came running and jumped into the water and saved them both. It really was a miracle that that person was nearby. As we heard, our psalm today, Psalm 118, was sung or chanted by the people who were welcoming Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. And he was riding on a young donkey. That's what the words in Greek and Aramaic mean. That young colt was a donkey. And the psalm is a plea of deliverance from distress. It's a celebration of God's saving power. And it would have been known to the folks there. It would have been used for centuries before in their worship. So it was a powerful hymn that was sung in contrast in that situation to the military procession of Pilate, the Roman governor, when he would have entered the city, all large and in charge. The people of Jerusalem yearned for deliverance from Rome, but often they had to be careful about how they expressed it. So this was one religious way of expressing their political yearnings. Crucifixion was a death penalty reserved especially for political dissidents. And so there is a subversive element in singing this psalm as Jesus moves toward his eventual crucifixion. Jesus enters Jerusalem to a parade of subversive praise. This song that has been chanted in the temple is now used, a song out of their familiar hymn book. We can be in awe of the people as they dare to sing this praise of their king on a humble donkey. The definition of self-giving includes the idea of the small self as opposed to the ego self that needs largesse to the exclusion of others. There's a picture, we can go to the next one. That's where the first one, just to go back for a second, I forgot to cue you, sorry about that. That's where the research comes from Dr. Keltner, his research and his teams, and this is the book that he has written about that. Then we go to the depiction of that palm waving entrance as people sang this psalm. Jesus did another act of defiance in the midst of that event when the religious elites told him to stop his disciples from singing that psalm. He refused. He said, even the stones would cry out if I were to try to shut them up. Nothing can stop this demonstration, and certainly Jesus will not. He knows the power of uplifting and supporting the voice of the people who are oppressed, of empowering people. We remember this ancient story and all the other stories about Jesus and the prophets and the people of God throughout the ages in order to remember and rehearse the power of selflessness, the power of kindness, courage, community, and love. The important practice of awe that we are focusing on today is curating awe by noticing acts of moral beauty. And if we go to the next slide, we'll see a local example that we're very familiar with. Those are some of our almost 30 or so volunteers that gather every single week on Thursdays to prepare and then serve our community meal. And the next one is another familiar example. Those are all the folks, both from within our congregation and many throughout the community, our wider community, who are part of the Linus Project. They make quilts and do knitting for babies, for families, for people who are in need as expressions of love and care. So those are two familiar examples of what I'm inviting you to think about today and to, if you like, to share. Are there examples of moral beauty, acts of courage, selflessness, resilience that you would like to bring to mind? You don't have to say it out loud, but if you think of a good example that you'd like to share from your own life or that you've read. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good. So if anybody didn't hear what Susan shared, we've just had a few weeks ago, the third Richmond Pride Walk through Steveston. And we've had United Church folks from different churches, including our own, joining with folks in the community. And Susan was just remembering that a few, I guess at the first one, Premier David Eby had his picture taken with the United Church banner, and some of us. And you'll see some of those pictures on our website and in our social media. Great example of people being explicit and public about our support for people that we know are vulnerable in our community. Yeah. Anything else you wanted to call to mind? As you might imagine, I have some of my own stories to share. I'm prepared, don't worry. But even to take a moment to think about, even if you don't really want to say it out loud, it's good for you to remember those examples in your own life. I know personally, from talking with many of you, that in this room right here are people of tremendous courage who live with chronic pain, with conditions, disabilities, challenges in their life of body, mind, and soul. And you do it with such courage and faithfulness. That is an act of moral beauty every day. But you probably don't think of it that way if it's yourself. But I'm inviting you to do that. And we probably can think of our friends and neighbors and folks sitting nearby who are in that boat. People who live with grief, people who live with all kinds of challenges and do so with grace and courage. And have the courage to reach out for help, hopefully, as well. Well, let's turn to the next slide, and I invite you to listen. This is a Matthew who is a middle school teacher, and he's got a story about an act of moral beauty.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I am a teacher, and today I want to tell you about a sticky note. Years ago, I had this kid who wouldn't speak. When I say wouldn't speak, I mean not at all. Not one word. And I have never felt so ill-equipped as a teacher. Like, I had no tools for this situation. So as a way to, like, help connect with that kid, I just drew a cartoon or wrote a little message on a sticky note and put it on their desk every day. And went on like that for the rest of the year. We had parent meetings and counselor meetings and psychologist meetings, and we tried talking to the kid, and just the kid didn't speak all year. 2 years go by, and I get an envelope in the mail. I open up, and what's inside? A single sticky note. And on it, it said, I saved all your sticky notes. Thank you so much. You helped me more than you know. And that's kind of what's hard about teaching. You never get to know your impact most of the time. You never get to know. But I guarantee you, whatever you're doing, even the small things like a sticky note, they probably have made a huge difference.
Just staying with Matt for a moment. If you look him up, I'll make sure he gets on our social media this coming week, the link, because he's got a wonderful collection of stories, all from his experience of teaching middle schoolers, that are beautiful. But that simple act of not really knowing how else to handle a really challenging situation with a student, just did his best through simple sticky notes each day and found out years later how much that had meant. So often we don't find out, whether you're a teacher or a neighbor or even sometimes a parent, grandparent, loved one, you don't really know, you don't find out what impact your act might have. But I can tell you, as the parent of a child who struggled with absolutely debilitating anxiety, that it took a whole team of teachers and the two of us as parents and a whole lot of other people to help this kid get through school. And today he's the kid, not the exact kid, but he's the same situation as that child. In fact, our son Luke, who some you've heard me talk about him before, he's now teaching in his own high school, and he got to present an honor to his previous mentor and teacher recently for all of her service and achievement. Those are rare and wonderful opportunities. So let me tell you about this guy. This is Troy Macbeth Abramaitis. And he's one of our Richmond neighbors right here in Richmond. And he was one of the people named on BC Day recently to be awarded a Medal of Good Citizenship. And in his case, it was for rebuilding the town of Lytton and honoring Indigenous survivors. So Troy is a 60s Scoop survivor. He's a member of the Lytton First Nation, but lives these days here in Richmond. And he returned in 2021 after the devastating fires that struck the town of Lytton. And he had a lot of real estate and development experience. And so he led housing projects and raised significant funds and championed a culturally rooted recovery in that community. And so his efforts have united Indigenous and non-Indigenous partners in restoring both infrastructure and community spirit, reads the statement from the province announcing him as one of the recipients of the Medal of Good Citizenship. So he's one of 18 recipients that have just been named, and there'll be medal ceremonies, I guess, in their own communities in the coming months. But it was really interesting to read about Troy, who is one of our own neighbors. Another story I'll share with you that I found in Reader's Digest Canada that struck a chord with me. Some of you know I'm kind of a big Star Wars fan, and I also have some children and young adults in my life who are autistic. This is about a 7-year-old Everett, who's a bright, imaginative kid and has autism. And he struggles with texture and smell and taste of many foods. So he really struggles to find foods that he can eat and enjoy. And so when his parents realized that he was a kind of a fan of Star Wars, and Kraft came out with a special edition of Kraft Dinner that was Star Wars shapes, he got really interested and he tried this new food and he liked it. The problem was it was limited edition. It was only available for a short period of time. So they got on social media and they appealed to folks, you know, can you send us some if you have some in your neighborhood? And of course it went viral, as you hear these days, and people sent, they had more Kraft Dinner than they could possibly eat, but it was a wonderful example of people doing something simple to respond with kindness. And it started with a willingness to ask for help, which is sometimes the hardest part of all of this. Even William Shatner of Star Trek fame shared that. So I thought that was pretty cool. So friends, think of your own examples. The important practice of awe that we're focusing on today is acts of moral beauty. Being purveyors of awe in recognizing, noticing, noting, celebrating, sharing what people around us are doing, what is even happening in our own lives, where people show courage and selflessness, kindness. I woke up to news about the Air Canada strike that may or may not continue, and it affects our family because my wife is supposed to be going to visit her ailing mother in Ontario this week, and she's really worried about whether she'll be able to get there. There are so many things in our news and in our lives that cause us anxiety and worry. And we do need to pay attention to those things, I would suggest in moderation. And we need to balance them with an awareness of how good the world is, how good people truly are, how good we are made to be. To cultivate that practice of awe can make a huge difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Thanks be to God. Amen.